Thank you again for the swap around of last week. Andy Stevens, you're a star. I appreciated you doing the swap. As you know, I was supposed to be doing this talk last week, so hopefully the order doesn't seem disconnected in any way for as the series was originally put together. And thanks again for those guys who've already started the series, Ian Dodds and, like I say, Andy Stevens. We're continuing today the talks in our series Calvary to Pentecost. And my title for today is Thomas's Doubts and Yours in brackets. And we're going to be looking at John 20, verses 19 to 31. So if you've got your Bibles, that would be great. Andy's going to bring that word to us in a moment. But I don't know about yourself, but I can really place myself in each of these talks. I can. Whether it's those that initial talk which Ian shared with us about the road to Emmaus. I don't know about yourself, but there's many a walk that I've had with Dog, that wonderful dog that you hear an awful lot about, in beautiful countryside, surrounded by God's creation, and I miss a moment where Jesus is wanting to talk to me and share life with me. I also know and remember, you know, from that talk last week of that breakfast on the beach, and I've used this personally in talks before, about that amazing fact that there are, that our Jesus, our God, wants to have breakfast with each one of us to prepare, you know, and is preparing a breakfast with us and wants to share those moments with us. I was a frequent user of Starbucks in the past. I don't anymore. And there were moments when I'm sure I could have been having my mocha latte or some other fancy drink, which I can't pronounce and certainly can't afford. But those were moments that Jesus wanted to be sat in a cafe with me, just talking to me, sharing moments. And I would encourage you all not to miss out on those moments. As I've been taking time to prepare for this talk today, one word has constantly come back to me. In fact, up until Friday night, in fact, up until yesterday morning, I didn't have anything other than this one word. And the word was reassurance. And hopefully, there you go, reassurance. Thank you to Andrew for putting that on a slide for me this morning. Technology was avoiding me. Reassurance, and this word just kept on coming back to me over since knowing that I was doing this talk. Reassurance. And whether that means something to purely to me or someone else here this morning, but I just want us to sort of take account of that word as I do this talk this morning. Reassurance, the action of removing someone's doubts or fears. I love this. Children need reassurance and praise. You know, God wants to do that. We're his children. He wants to reassure us at this moment. A statement that removes someone's doubts or fears. Reassurances. We have been given reassurances that the water is safe to drink. Well, who is the water, the living well, the flowing river, the constant Jesus? Well, I think we can have a health warning or non-health warning is that we can drink from this well this morning and be reassured that it's going to be good water. You know, like I said, this word reassurance, whether it's, you know, the reassurance of Jesus' grace and love, that as we followed him and walked with him on the road to Emmaus, we didn't realize that we were with him on that whole journey. Jesus didn't react jealously or with petty hurt or judgment. No, he saw two people on that road to Emmaus in trauma, with hurt, and who needed healing. And I want to reassure you that that's my Jesus. That's our Jesus. He's not a jealous God. He's not petty. He wants us to receive healing. The reassurance for Peter when he and Jesus met again after Peter's denial of Jesus. Let's think about that encounter. There wasn't any judgment, anger or bitterness from Jesus, but Jesus demonstrating love and compassion by preparing and having breakfast with Peter, knowing that Peter needed to be healed and restored. And today, as we take a brief look at Thomas, I hope, like myself, you take away a sense of God's reassurance that even in our doubts, Jesus doesn't roll his eyes at us. He doesn't say wearily, "Oh, here he goes again." No, Jesus is gentle, kind, gracious, patient, and most importantly, willing to meet us where our faith is at and our faith in him, so that we can come through our situation with him together. So I'm going to ask Andy to read from John 20, verses 19 to 31. Thanks, Andy.
John 20, 19 to 31. Jesus appears to his disciples. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together, with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and sighed. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, their sins are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." Jesus appears to Thomas. Now Thomas, also known as Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the other disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your fingers here. See my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Stop doubting and believe." Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." Then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed."
Thank you, Andy. So as I read these words and hear these words, immediately I can relate to Thomas. In the chaos that ensued after Easter, the high emotional state of everyone coming and going to and from the tomb. "Have you seen? Have you heard? It's empty. No, it's not. Have you seen him?" "Yes, I have." The people arriving, then leaving, and then returning with sightings and encounters of Jesus. Gosh, it must have been a highly charged and confusing environment. And with this as a background, it's quite easy, I believe, to understand Thomas's response, which we see in verse 25, when he encounters some of the other disciples telling him, "We've seen the Lord." But Thomas's response is, unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand in his side, I will not believe. Folks, I'm not sure about you, but I'm thankful for people like Thomas in the Bible. His honesty and his humanity as he speaks out these words, unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe. For me, I'm thankful for these words. For me, Thomas, not because Thomas is being awkward or, you know, just be, you know, awkward for being awkward's sake. No. For me, Thomas isn't blindly following what others are saying. He's searching for himself. And I think that's really important. The Christian walk, our faith in Jesus, is about a personal relationship. Not about mum and dad's or your friends. Yeah, they're great and they'll feed into you and they'll support you. No, Thomas is about being authentic. Authentic about his relationship with God and also true to himself. Questioning, seeking, because that's who he is. Like I say, he's not being awkward or opposing the truth. Far from it. He's reaching out with a genuine, loving desire to know the truth for himself. So let's just take a moment to pause and reflect on this. Maybe there, like Thomas, you have some doubt about a situation that you are facing, or you find yourselves right in right now. And folks, having been a Christian for a number of years, brought up in a Christian family where you are surrounded by folks and people and church family who have amazing testimonies to share about how God came through for them, and they share encouraging words and are good people who want to encourage you through that situation. Likewise, we have amazing examples in God's word of how God comes through, challenges the people's doubts. But I don't know about you, but if you have a doubt, and if I have a doubt, I have a doubt. And I, irrespective of all the good things, all that I know that's happened in the past, those are helpful things. They give a good foundation. I've no doubt about it. But if I have a doubt, I have a doubt. And just like Thomas, I go into that place where unless I see such and such, unless I can touch, unless I can, then I won't believe. Now, the good news is God didn't leave it there. As we've seen what happens next, as we look at the timeline, a week passes. In fact, in some Bibles it says 8 days later. Jesus appears again. And this time, Thomas is there. And I don't know about you, but that 8 days for Thomas was the longest 8 days of his life. And certainly there are moments when I've been like, any moment. And there's no multiple times where Jesus doesn't turn up when you expect him to turn up. But he turns up. Placing ourselves in this encounter with Jesus and Thomas, Jesus says to Thomas, put your finger here. See my hands. Reach out your hand. Put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe. And Thomas said to him, my Lord, my God. I love this moment. This, to me, is Jesus in action. And maybe that's, as we are, Jesus' hands and feet, his voices. This is us responding in a way that's not awkward or a place of annoyance. No, Jesus is in the room. He brings peace, grace, and reassurance to this situation. Jesus knew what Thomas needed to believe, and Jesus provided the evidence to help him on his journey. Jesus lovingly met Thomas at the exact point of his need, and I believe that that Jesus is the same to Thomas as he is to James Hodges today. And maybe you here today also need to hear and feel that peace and grace that Jesus brings into that room and says gently and calmly and positively and reassuringly to Thomas, to James, to you guys today, put your finger here, see my hands, reach out, put it into my side, stop doubting and believe. Because it was at that moment that Jesus guided Thomas back to faith. Like I say, good news. Thomas wasn't washed up because he doubted, folks. He wasn't discarded because of his lack of faith. Far from it. For me, God uses this example for me and for others right here today. A reminder that God wants to help us with our doubts, our faith-seeking moments, and I guess through this example of Thomas, God is reassuring us that he, through Jesus, through the Holy Spirit, will meet us and deal with our doubts where we are at. So in conclusion, and I guess what I've personally learnt from this encounter of Thomas, where he meets Jesus in that room, is that we need and can be honest with God about our doubts and bring to him our questions. He shows us in this example of Thomas that our God will meet us where we are at, and our God understands our struggles in our faith. And just to quote one commentator that really resonated with me on this topic, just to reassure me and maybe others, that the God who put the world into motion, parted the Red Sea, raised Jesus from the dead, is very capable to ease our doubts and strengthen our faith, just in case we've got any doubts on who God is. I'll repeat this because it's really important for me. Our God is very capable in easing yours and my doubts and strengthening our faith. I hope after this short message today, a whistle-stop tour of encountering Thomas and Jesus, I hope you feel as reassured by knowing that our God is very capable of easing our doubts and strengthening our faith right where we're at today. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for the example that Thomas provides us of a demonstration of your love, your grace, and your desire for us to have a personal relationship with you. Thank you, Father God, for the fact that Jesus meets us where we are at as individuals. And I pray now in the name of Jesus that the Holy Spirit, as you work in our lives, that you will help us, guide us, and bring us into those places of faith for situations that we do have doubts in. I pray for the church family here today, that those who do have doubts, who do have concerns, Father God, I pray that you will reveal yourself in a way that, just like you did with Thomas, here's the nail prints, here's the hole in the side. Father God, you will reveal yourself in the way that we need to see you. In Jesus' name we ask this. Amen.